You read labels on your food because what's in it matters. Dirty Labs brings that same thinking to your dishes. In other words, what touches your food matters too. Dirty Labs is proving that cleaning doesn't have to be so dirty. So they created a dishwasher detergent designed to deliver conventional levels of clean without the toxic chemicals or residue. Because the plates and forks your family eats from deserve the same care as the food you put on them. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's the refreshing!
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888. And I sound happy about it, don't I? 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4-4-7-6. We're talking about the NFL. They have their owners' meetings, so a lot of different things going on. And one of the things that they've talked about, or at least were discussing, and this is something that's going to continue to come up. Roger Goodell will get these questions the next time he talks. He will get them at league meetings. He will get them on interviews. He will get them at the press conferences, the Super Bowl one, in these league meetings. And every year after year, he will get this until it happens. And I do think it will happen. And that's 18 games in the NFL for a schedule. And so what we're discussing is that too many? If it's not too many, will the NFL stop? I throw out a suggestion. What if they had a 10-game season or like 12-game season and then took a three-week break for the college football playoff and to let everybody like be home for the holidays? And then 10 more weeks or 8 more weeks. And so you split up the season a little bit. Sounds stupid, right? Well, I don't know. What are we going to – at some point we're going to have football from September to April. And not counting the United Football League. I keep talking about the NFL. I've been talking about the NFL. I keep using the analogies. Pumping air into a balloon. Pumping air into a tire. Even pouring water into a glass. At some point, you don't have enough room. And with the balloon, it can keep expanding. And there's been many times that you've thought, that's it. It's not going to go further. Oh, boy. How big is this going to go? Oh, my God. That tire. There's a lot of air in there. At some point, you're going to get worried about that. Or it is going to happen. And I think the NFL is going to try to test it. They're going to try to find out. Well, when is that point going to be? When is that point going to be? Let's find out. Let's find out. Our fans will let us know. Because so far, what we've let them know is we'll take more. We once had a 14-game NFL season, and it's gone over a generation or two. It's not been lightning quick. But think of all the things that they have added. They add a Monday night game. They add a Thursday night game. They throw games overseas, which is adding another TV window. They're taking over Christmas. They already own Thanksgiving. They get a game on Black Friday. They get a game on Labor Day weekend Friday. They're expanding and expanding. They add a 16th game, 15 and 16. Then they add a 17th game. They add another team into the playoffs, which means more playoff games. And what do? We show up, whether it's on our couch or in the stadium. So if you're the NFL and there's more money to be made, do you stop and say, I'm good. I'm okay. We've got enough money. Or do you continue to find out just how much money you can make? And I think we see what the answer to that question is going to be. Now, when would this happen? When would this happen? This would probably happen, I think, at the soonest, 2029. The NFL's got a current media deal that goes through 2032, but there is an opt-out to it. They can opt out. Now, they've also added games and tinkered with the schedule, so maybe there's a chance there, but I think they're going to want to present this as a new package and really get everybody, because you're not going to want to miss out. If you've got 20 weeks of the NFL, and I'm going to say 20 weeks of the NFL, we've been talking about 18 games. We've been talking about what if it goes to 20 games. But if there's an 18-game season, I do believe they would add not just another week for the extra round of games. I think they'd add another week to give teams a second bye. So a 17-game schedule provides us with an 18-week season. I believe that an 18-week schedule would provide us with a 20-week season. And if you're one of these networks or streaming or whatever, and you know how hard it is in this fractured audience landscape, if you have 20 weeks of the NFL, that doesn't just mean you have 20 weeks of the NFL. That means your competition does not. So there's a lot at stake for players, and that's why you continue to see the rates go up and up and up with all live sports. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Jimmy is in Toronto. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, I'm all for the 18 weeks because I think it would give I'm a Bills fan.
Okay.
So it would give the conference one game against every team in the conference, and it would still allow for two games within your division. And then you could have a true Super Bowl that's AFC versus the NFC.
So you're talking like MLB pre-interleague play. You're saying no AFC versus NFC.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's in my opinion, I think that would be the only thing that works that would make sense for an 18-game season.
Everyone would play everyone. There's 16 teams. Jimmy, thanks for the call and a conference. Just to do the math with you. You obviously can't play yourself in football. So you'd play the other 15 teams one time. And then the three teams in your division, you'd play them a second time. That adds up to 18. This would be, there'd be no interleague play, if that's the word we would use for it. Which I've said, I wouldn't mind going back to that in baseball. Why aren't the All-Star Game and World Series as special as they used to be? Well, because these teams play each other all the time. Man, that'd be wild in the NFL. That would be wild. Chris is in Buffalo. What's up, Chris?
Hey, buddy.
Yo.
There's three things I wanted to talk about. One was the UFL. I had a hard time picking a team because I think three or four of them are out of Texas.
Yeah, it's a very Texas-heavy league.
Well, I mean, the time of year, you figure it's better to have those southern teams. But I went geographical, and it was either, I think, Michigan or D.C. So I went with D.C. just because they have a more fun-sounding name.
The D.C. Defenders. I went with them, too. The reason is because working in Milwaukee, I'll just be flat-out honest, there is a radio host in Milwaukee that I was competing against who actually moved from D.C., and he was, a Redskins fan at the time, and he was, like, just basically pretending to be a Packer fan. And so I thought, well, if you're going to do that, then I'm going to root for D.C. where I can, and that being in the XFL at the time, now UFL. So short story long, we are both D.C. Defender fans for different reasons.
I'll buy you a shirt.
I already have three, and I will tell you why. Because when the XFL went away the first time, Dick's Sporting Goods had a sale online. I bought about 10 different XFL-branded apparel items for $45. Several of those being DC Defender shirts. So I'm good on clothing.
Okay. The other thing is like a, with the extended NFL season, I kind of feel like you're giving other teams a taste of what it might be like to be in the playoffs by extending the season, you know, because they play 20, 21 games to reach the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but those games at the end are not going to have playoff feel, though. But you're getting the wear and tear, I guess.
And the last thing, and you may have brought it up before. I've only been listening to you for like 9 or 10 months. What did Aaron Rodriguez do to cause the falling out with you as the quarterback in Green Bay? Was it before he stopped being your quarterback, while he was still the quarterback in Green Bay?
Did you mean Rodgers?
Aaron, yeah.
Yeah. My personal falling out with Aaron Rodgers, I think, started around 18 or 19, where it just became too much. We had that there's so many different Rodgers stories with, like, you know, his family, they don't get along. And then he's at his locker one day and he says, I had Thanksgiving with my folks. And we're like, oh, he likes his family again. And then he goes, no, I meant folks, like my friends. But I think he wanted you to think family. And then there were other like weird things like that. I'm not saying I don't like Aaron Rodgers because one time he called his friends his folks. I'm just saying it got to be the point where there were so many Rodgers off the field stories and Rodgers off the field, like the whole firing with McCarthy. There were so many, like, you couldn't just enjoy Aaron Rodgers for 3 hours a week. You had to get all this other Rodgers stuff pummeled at you. And then especially come, you know, some of these playoff losses with Matt LaFleur. It's like, I want it off the ride is what I said. I'm rooting for a quarterback who gets me to an NFC championship game and loses. At some point, that's not worth it when I have to sit through all the other stuff that I have to sit through. So I'd rather move on to a new guy who I don't need to spend every waking hour, like, and a part of it was, so I'm covering him too, which it's like, well, just ignore it. Well, I couldn't. I had to listen to every press conference and talk about everything. And at some point, I guess the juice wasn't worth the squeeze for me. Is that all right as of an answer? Did you leave?
Oh, no, I'm still here, man. I hang on every word. Yeah, you've spoke about it in depth, but I've never really heard you clarify like where the falling out occurred. But I can completely understand he's giving you what he's been giving you these last couple of years, but as a Green Bay player instead, where just you don't need the drama and the baloney. I get it.
Yeah, I also feel like because of that Green Bay and because of that knowledge, I am at a more advantageous position as a fan to kind of see through his eyes what he's doing. And that's why I continue to believe he will sign with Pittsburgh, but it won't be until the summer when he can bypass some of the stuff he doesn't want to do. And the later he signs with the team, the less he'll have to be like a company man. And the more he can be freewheeling Aaron Rodgers, we're going to do things my way if I'm going to be here. So that's what
I heard something interesting listening to Steve Tasker today. And they were talking about how the Vikings are essentially waiting to determine whether or not McCarthy is going to be ready to play week one. So what they're kind of doing is they're sitting on their heels waiting to see what happens there before they do anything with Rodgers.
The Vikings thing, Chris, good to talk to you. Appreciate the call. The Vikings thing is interesting, because the GM and, you know, the coach and these guys are being asked about it. And I feel like that's a no. There were three spots that I thought Rodgers could end up at the beginning of all of this. And my three spots were Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Minnesota. And Pittsburgh obviously still in play. I suppose Cleveland is. It seems like Kirk Cousins still may end up there at some point. I think Atlanta's hanging on to him just to see what everybody else does. And they're fine with having him as a backup. You know, they're paying him a lot of money, but they're not paying Penix that much. So sure, if he wants to be our backup, that's great. But if we can find a spot and we can get something out of it and, you know, make you pay for it instead, that could be an angle that they take. The Steelers, I think, are still the really only option, with a sliver of it being the Vikings. But I don't, if they're waiting on McCarthy and there's that many questions, they had an opportunity to at least for 1 year bring Sam Darnold back. Now they would franchise tag him, so that'd be $40 million. If they didn't do that, I'm having a hard time trying to figure out why they would then go with Aaron Rodgers. Is Sam Darnold better than Aaron Rodgers? I mean, throughout the career, no. For the Vikings in 2025, with Darnold being 15 years younger and being the quarterback that took you to a playoff game last year, I think, yeah. But then financially, well, what are you going to pay Rodgers? Now, if Russell Wilson's signing for $10 million and Daniel Jones is signing for $15 and Russell could make another $10, is Rodgers taking less than $20? I think part of it is Rodgers, you know, I don't know that Aaron Rodgers wants to say, I signed for 1 year for $17 million. I think there's some ego involved with that, too. So that answers your question, I would hope. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4ISN. Want to talk some NBA with you guys? Just looking at the league as it is now, one of the things I talked about earlier was, if you don't like the NBA, is that because you're trying not to like the NBA? My analogy is, you view the NBA the same you might view Saturday Night Live. I like the NBA now, and I get a lot of people telling me the NBA was better, and then they tell me when. I like Saturday Night Live now, and a lot of people tell me the SNL was better when. And typically, the time period they say is when they were like teenagers or young adults. So I feel like the NBA and Saturday Night Live have the same sort of nostalgia. The same member berries get triggered with people. And we can discuss that a little further. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Head to DirtyLabs.com and use code PODCAST to get 20% off your first order.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB. And all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. That would make me Bart Winkler. Alex's arm with us. Marco Belletti coming up with another update. Busy night in the NBA. Busy night in Major League Baseball, where the Dodgers stay undefeated. Walk-off home run from Shohei Ohtani. They are 8-0. Their win total is over-under was 103.5. I mean, they could get that by Labor Day, my friends. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Good night in the NBA. Yesterday, I mean, a historic night. Nikola Jokic had a triple-double with 60 points. Just the third person to do that. James Harden's done it, and Luka Doncic has done it. That's it. And Steph Curry, a big night, 52 points. The Bucks, I'll mention the Bucks. They had the highest field goal percentage in the league since 1998. Just a lot of fun stuff happening in the NBA. And there's some things that, you know, are not fun. There's some teams that are very bad. There's some teams that are tanking. There's, you know, maybe you don't like the amount of threes. Maybe you don't like the load management. Maybe you don't like this part of the season where it's just like, okay, can we just start the playoffs? We know who's going to be in. There was an article on The Athletic from David Aldridge where he said, objectively, the NBA is as good as it's ever been. The talent is as good as it's ever been. There's more representation from all over the world than ever. And yet it seems like there's a good contingent of people that want to dunk on the NBA, pun not initially intended. And why can't we just enjoy it? And I think there's a lot of nostalgia, like the NBA that you like is probably the NBA that you liked when you liked the NBA growing up. 888-710-4ISN. David is in Buffalo. Hello, David.
Hey, Bart. Appreciate you taking my call, man. I think with the NBA, it comes down to a few things. I think, number one, a couple things you brought up there with the load management, the three-pointers, but I think Adam Silver's given a lot of power to the players that we don't see in other sports.
Yeah.
And then I just, you know, and I think the other thing, too, that really hurts the NBA is the NHL. I mean, the NHL had an unbelievable Four Nations tournament. You know, then last year, the playoffs. I mean, you remember it, and I remember it well. I mean, we were talking hockey on this show. It seemed like maybe every other night, it seemed like. We were talking about different teams, different games. And you look at the playoff races right now, there's a ton of teams in the NHL that are still in the mix for the wild card, which is good. That reminds me a lot of the NFL. So I think, to me, that's good for hockey. And then, and I think, too, people can relate to hockey players better than the NBA. Like a guy dunking a basketball or shooting these three-pointers, you just can't relate to that. Where I think hockey, yes, maybe a lot of us never played hockey, can't skate. But like you look at some of these guys like Binnington, the goaltender with Canada, you know, and he won the Stanley Cup with the Blues a few years ago. This guy really fought his way there. It was the equivalent of a guy who was like, you know, maybe started out as a janitor and he worked his way all the way up to the CEO of a company. So to me, here's the analogy I'd make with the NBA, Bart. It's like a restaurant that keeps serving the same food over and over and over. The manager is arrogant to the customers, and the customers are starting to push back a little bit. And I think that restaurant got to mix up its menu, and maybe the manager's got to change his attitude around the customers. So I'm interested in your thoughts.
I kind of think, David, that there's a lot of good items on the menu, but the customer won't eat it because he wants the items that were on the menu 20 years ago, and we haven't served those items in 20 years.
That's not bad, man. That's pretty good, man. That's a good way of looking at it, too. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, because I feel like, you know, the NBA, a lot of people want to go back to those Knicks-Bulls games in the 90s. And I think, you know, LeBron and the decision irritated a lot of people. But, yeah, I think there's a ton of talent in the NBA. But I think, to me, you know, this year the playoffs are a big thing for the NBA because last year the playoffs stunk, man. And I think hockey really pounced on that to an extent. And if hockey is another good year where you get McDavid and Eichel in the West, and then you get Florida, you know, trying to go back to back, that's going to be tough for the NBA to compete with, because I think hockey right now has really got a good momentum thing going.
Thanks for the call, David. Always appreciate it. David taking more of a hockey angle, which, you know, I do think there's a lot of people that don't watch the NBA that instead like hockey. I think there's plenty of room to do both. Based on another thing he said with the player empowerment kind of stuff, I think one thing that has maybe hurt the NBA has been, here's a shocker, the coverage of the NBA, how it is covered by the different league partners, by the debate shows. Here's what's interesting, and I talk about this with the NFL quite a bit. The NFL is in a lot of different cities, and of those cities, there are different size markets. New York City's pretty big. Green Bay is not. But when the Giants play the Packers, does it feel like anyone's on unequal footing? Does it feel like anyone's on, they're on the same footing? Now, they have a salary cap that is uniform across the NFL. And if you are in the biggest market in the league or the lowest market in the league based on population size, with revenue sharing and with the salary cap, you're on the same playing field. Now, in Major League Baseball, you're not. There is no salary cap. And if you're in a bigger market, you have more ways to attract revenue. You can get more fans easily to come to your ballpark because there's more people. I was at a Brewers game today. They announced 19,000. I don't think there was more than five. There was a game Tuesday night, a Brewers game, and there was also a Bucks game in Milwaukee, and people around my beautiful city say, why can't we get an NHL team? Look, I don't know that we could support two teams sometimes. But in baseball, there's clearly defined, this is a small market with limited resources. This is a big market with more resources. There's a difference between Pittsburgh and Los Angeles. Now, you need a good owner that's willing to spend. So there's a reason why the Angels have forever sucked, but the Dodgers haven't. But there's clear disparity. And when there's guys that are in a small market team and their contract is up, typically the bigger markets can afford those players easier than the teams in the smaller markets, even if you played for that team. Okay? So in the NFL, there's no salary cap. And it is uniform throughout the league. In MLB, there's clearly defined small market and large market, not just based on population size, but based on what they can bring in as a revenue. So I bring all that up because in the NBA, while there is a luxury tax, and if your ownership group wants to spend more money, they can. They'll be taxed on it, but there is the way to spend more money than other clubs. There is still a salary cap, and the salary cap rules are pretty much the same for most of these teams. With the exception of going into these different aprons with the luxury tax. But it's closer to me, it's closer to the NFL than Major League Baseball. And in Major League Baseball, like a guy like Paul Skeens, who's come on with the Pirates, there's a lot of discussion about, well, yeah, I mean, once he's off of team control, he'll probably sign with the Yankees or Dodgers or Cubs or somewhere else. But nobody's saying, like, we need to get Paul Skeens out of Pittsburgh right now. In the NBA, where, again, I think it's closer to the NFL model than Major League Baseball, we do that. Giannis needs to get out of Milwaukee. Ja Morant needs to get out of Memphis. Zion needs to get out of New Orleans. At some point, we're going to say, is San Antonio big enough for Victor Wembanyama? oh, the NBA offseason is more exciting than the NBA. Well, that's because we get so wrapped up in this player movement. Because it's always debated and talked about. Kevin Durant should not be on as many teams as he's been on. He was on the Thunder. Then he went to the Warriors. Then he's trying to play for the Nets. He doesn't like that, so he bails. So then he goes to Phoenix, and now he's probably going to get traded again. But the NBA, we're constantly looking at, you know, teams and players and who's going to be where next. The other part of this is, let's go back to the NFL and large market, small market. If Green Bay plays Jacksonville in a Super Bowl, it's still going to be a pretty big deal. It's the Super Bowl. And we're not thinking 100,000 people versus 300,000 people or whatever the populations are. We're just thinking Packers versus Jaguars. That's what we're thinking. That's what we're thinking. In Major League Baseball, if it was two small market teams, like if it's Kansas City versus Pittsburgh, or even the year it was Arizona versus Texas, and Texas, not small market, it's Dallas. Maybe less people watched it because it's less brand names than Dodgers, Yankees, but I think the Diamondbacks got celebrated for that run. And the Rangers got celebrated. You may not have watched it again, but there was some celebration to it. If we get a Lakers-Celtics finals this year, everyone will be so happy. If we get a Thunder-Cavs finals, even though they've been the two best teams all year, not only will people watch it less because the brand names aren't as big as the other ones, and that's fine. I can't fight against brand names. But it won't be celebrated. It will be met with disgust. Ugh, why do we got to watch Thunder Cavs? And you don't say it as, why do we got to watch the two? You should be like, we get to watch the two best teams play each other. Wow. Thunder, by the way, after beating the Pistons, finished with an undefeated record against the East outside of one team. And that was the Cavs. Those two teams split. So the Thunder finished 29-1 against the East. The Cavs, the only team to beat them. Thunder are pretty good. But it would be met with disgust. It should be met with celebration. So I think that's a big problem with the NBA, is for some reason, the conversation has gone, it's not, is it that you like the basketball less, or is it that you like the conversation around the league less because the conversation's not as much about the basketball? It's more about all this other stuff. I'll get Brandon in Chicago before the update. What's up, Brandon?
What's good, B-Dub? Alex, thanks for taking my call, man.
What's up?
I feel you, man, with the nostalgia on the NBA, because maybe I'm spoiled because, you know, I grew up in the 90s Bulls, but...
I'm okay, so a Bulls fan is like the absolute exception to this. Of course the NBA was better in the 90s for you.
I mean, you're not wrong about that, but I do like the NBA nowadays, though. You got to appreciate what LeBron is doing at 40 years old. You know, Steph is changing the game. You got Jokic, spreading the game all over the world. But one thing that's missing from the game is they could be a little bit more physical. When was the last time you seen a player foul out of a game? I mean, at least that would, slow down the game a little bit.
Last night.
So teams can't,
Foul out. Yeah, people foul out.
People foul out? Really? I mean, it just seemed like it would happen. It happened more back in the day. You know what I mean? But I don't know. It just seems like that teams aren't as physical as they used to be. And, there's not a rivalry aspect to the game. And then I just wanted to get a real quick question. Which team do you think has a chance of, being the upset this year, taking the championship? 52 times the number one seed has won the championship. And then one more quick thing, man.
For the NBA?
What's up?
What's your question?
If you and Carlos are going to go to any restaurants in Chicago, man, you got to check out Garcia's. It's a good Mexican restaurant. And then if you're feeling
Is it by
German,
the ballpark?
Yeah, it's kind of near the ballpark, near Lakeview area. And then you got Reese's Beer Stube. Get yourself good.
I'll try to check it out, Brandon. When I because Carlos is in. Thanks for the call. Carlos is in Chicago, and he's going to be there till I think this weekend. And I'm going to meet him on Friday at the Cubs game. And I'm going to get in Chicago, and I'm going to watch this game, and I'm going to get the hell out of there. And I'm not spending enough time. I was just in Chicago 2 weekends ago. I had a great time. Oh, also, by the way, Chicago opening day, Wrigley Field. We got 70% chance of rain in the forecast. So, you know what? Maybe I'm going to wake up, see the game got postponed or delayed, and I'm going to say, Carlos, you're on your own, buddy. I can't get down there. Can't get down there because I'll be in that night. 888-710-4ISN. Let's get an update. Here is Marco Belletti.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
The Dodgers went to Japan to take on the Cubs for 2 games. They won both of those. They then took on the Detroit Tigers in Los Angeles for 3 games. They won all 3 of those, including one that went into extra innings. They took on the Braves on Monday, won. Took on the Braves on Tuesday, won. Wednesday night, they found themselves down 5-3 in the 8th, scored a couple of runs in the 8th, and then just needed 1 run in the 9th. And, well, lucky for them, Shohei Ohtani was at the dish.
High fly ball to center field. Harris is back. Ohtani! Inevitable!
That highlight courtesy of Sportsnet LA, Joe Davis on the call. Yeah, Ohtani's been in a large market his whole career in the majors. But man, the difference between him on the Angels and him on the Dodgers, I mean, it's like the bright lights and he's shining. So the Dodgers are 8-0. Padres are 7-0. So they're right there. Dodgers don't play the Padres, however, until June 9th. Division opponent. Dodgers are 8-0, Padres 7-0, Braves 0-7. Braves have the Marlins coming up this weekend. Dodgers have the day off on Thursday. And then a little road trip, Philadelphia, and then Washington before they're home against Chicago and Colorado. And then they go to Chicago at the end of April. So they're going to play the Cubs in 3 different series. The 7 times that I believe they play them before they play the Padres 1 time. See, the balanced schedule, you get to play everybody, but you don't play your divisional opponents as much. And now, trust me, you know, in the NL Central, you watch the Pirates and Reds play each other 19 times. You want to rip your eyes out. But only playing them 12 times, it seems like they should be playing each other more than that. Talking some NFL tonight, talking some NBA tonight, talking some MLB tonight, talking with you tonight. 888-710-4ISN. Brian is in Wisconsin. Hey, Brian, what's up?
Yes, sir, Bart. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling.
If you can't make it on Friday, give me a shout, man. I'll be there.
At the Cubs home opener?
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. But I enjoy the NBA with the midseason tournament and everything like that, and with the Bulls taking out the Lakers a couple times and making a little noise. It is a little bit of a 90s nostalgia. But my call is about the NFL schedule.
Yeah, what's up?
So I say that you can go to 18 games and have a stipulation where the players only are allowed to play 16 of the games, and that puts a little bit of a shine on the coaching aspect, and it keeps the players safe with their 16 games. It adds that, and it's a little bit of a strategy involved in as to when you're going to sit some of your better players or some of your weaker players. And what do you think about that?
Well, that is interesting. I thought about bringing that up earlier, Brian. Thanks for the call and the suggestion. I didn't get around to it because it was something that it was at least suggested by somebody. That's not the first time I've heard that. It was suggested a few years ago when talk of this came up. And while I think there's a lot that it would add, so if you played an 18-game NFL schedule, but players could only play 16 games, you'd be doing a lot of like interesting work with when do you sit guys? Do you sit them in the beginning? What if they get hurt? Do you sit them later? It'd be a big topic of conversation every week. I mean, should the Bengals sit Joe Burrow against this week? You know, it'd be a lot of that. I think, though, it would be too much. It'd be a little overwhelming. It'd be too overstimulating. With everything else going on in the NFL, to then have all the everybody, the 53 players, you'd have to say, and would there be so many that you'd sit a week or what would you do? I just think that, and then you wouldn't want to get to a week 18 because you're banking weeks if a guy gets hurt. And then you get to week 18, you need to win a playoff spot, and you got to sit your quarterback because of the rules. Well, that's not in the interest of anybody. You're actually implementing self-imposed load management, which is one of the reasons people cry foul about the NBA sometimes. So it is intriguing, and it would be exciting, and I wouldn't mind watching that play out for a year in the interest of curiosity, but I don't think that would be a good idea. We'll wrap up with Robert in Nova Scotia. What's up, Robert?
Hi there. Last night you were talking about clubs tanking in the NBA.
Yeah.
And you went through a number of scenarios of how it might be done differently. And it occurred to me that you could keep the same number of teams involved in the lottery. You could weight the lottery in the same way. The difference would be that the team that would have the best chance in the lottery is the team that finished at the top of that group. You know, well, I'd love to.
So you're just reverse weighting it from 1 to 14. If you're the first team out of the playoffs, you get the number one. You get the best odds for the number one pick.
Yeah, that's right. Because the top two or three teams would still be incentivized to play to get in the play-in game, the early round game. Whereas the people at the bottom are going to be, would be incentivized to win more games because they would get a better weighting.
I don't hate that idea, Robert. Thanks for the call. I got to let you go. I don't hate that idea because you're still encouraging, I guess, teams to win. One issue would be I would think you'd then need to get rid of the play-in game because if your choices are best shot at number one overall pick or the 10 seed, I'm probably not going to make the real playoffs. We saw the Mavs do that a couple of years ago just for like the 6th overall pick. So there would maybe have to be more tweaks there. But I think if there's a way to get rid of, hey, you were the worst team, here's the best thing, I think that's forward progress of that conversation. I want to thank Alex Azarm. I want to thank Marco Belletti. Linnell Willingham coming up again. He will be next, the next 4 hours with you on the Infinity Sports Network. This has been The Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
You read labels on your food because what's in it matters. Dirty Labs brings that same thinking to your dishes. In other words, what touches your food matters too. Dirty Labs is proving that cleaning doesn't have to be so dirty. So they created a dishwasher detergent designed to deliver conventional levels of clean without the toxic chemicals or residue. Because the plates and forks your family eats from deserve the same care as the food you put on them. Fall in love, or it's free, at DirtyLabs.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Realtek 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Realtek 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.